This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
So, you know, over the last number of weeks, you know, our radio stations, you know, have looked completely different than normal, right?
Absolutely.
There's nobody here. Mm-mm. I feel like I'm in the that Will Smith movie.
Oh, I Am Legend?
Yes.
I'm the mannequin at Best Buy. Blockbuster, I mean.
Yes. You're Wilson, the volleyball. Yeah, no, I mean, I feel like I got all this, but I do get a chance every day to see Shyler, who's in to do her morning show on Y103, and then thankfully I get to see our next guest on a daily basis. Tat from Hot 105.5 joins us this morning. Terrence, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic. How you doing, Brian?
I'm hanging in there, just like everybody else.
Yes, sir.
All right, I got to ask you, you know, you're such a, you're so connected with the youth in our community and everything you do. What are you hearing from young people coming off of, you know, the edge of this pandemic into this age of protest and everything in between? How are the kids doing?
The kids are impressing me. Like, the young people, especially in this day of social media, they are using that platform to exchange information. And what I've been seeing is more so what is needed. What do they have to do after the protest? Like, we had a wonderful protest on Monday here in Decatur. Proud of my city. It was peaceful. And now the young people are exchanging information and actually doing research, which I'm not surprised. It's just this day and age of social media and the sharing of positive, proactive information. Like, the things that I've been seeing that's been shared by the young people are actual things that can make a change. And I'm happy to see that. Like, this generation, for how some of us perceive them, are more connected than we think.
That makes my heart warm thinking about that. You know, because it at the end of the day, Tat, you can say something I don't agree with. I can say something you don't agree with. But until we start seeing each other as human beings and understand we're going to have differences and different takes and different opinions, but at the end of the day, we have a lot more in common than we don't.
Almost definitely.
You know, we're not going to get anywhere. And tweets and whatever, I mean, that doesn't do anything. And even marching or walking, and I agree with you 1,000% about being proud of our community, you got to have action on the other end of it, or it's all just talk.
Oh, yeah, and that's where we're – That's where I know I'm personally at, and a lot of people, because this is what I've been promoting is I don't want to have to march about the same thing again, the same thing that my ancestors have been marching for. Like, we've been marching and stuff for too long, and people get excited, and then that's it. This is the time and the moment where, all right, now what is the action plan for after the march? You know, individuals that I've been talking to this week, they want to talk about the protest and how wonderful it was. I'm like, yeah, that's fine, but there's work to be done, and we have to make sure we're vigilant and we're being active on the legislation, and this is the voting year. And another great thing about the young people is they don't care about parties. They want to know what policies different politicians are bringing to the table, especially for the black community. It's always assumed that we're going to vote Democratic, but with the young people, they're like, no, I want to know what your plan is. I don't care if that's what my parents had voted and blah, blah, blah. We're not doing that. We want to know who has the best plan, policy for action. We're going to hear out everybody, you know?
Yeah. Listen, that's the only way you take the power back is to let these parties not take advantage of everyone, mm-hmm. which they have. And they've also helped divide this country.
Oh, most definitely.
Growing up in Decatur, Illinois, we both grew up in this same community. And we probably grew up in a lot more similar ways than dissimilar. But yeah. Talk to me a little bit about the complicated relationship in the African-American community with law enforcement. What you were taught when you were a kid, what you learned, what you assumed. What is it like growing up as a young black man in this community or elsewhere and that complicated relationship with law enforcement?
Well, as a young man, born and raised here in Decatur, it's different because my father experienced more of the blatant, violent racism coming from Brownsville, Tennessee. A lot of the African-American community here in Decatur have their roots in the South. So they all came up here for the jobs, for Wagner's and stuff like that. So my dad had came up here from Brownsville, Tennessee, and that's where he experienced, you know, being chased down by white supremacy groups, having rocks thrown at him as he was walking to school. So the conversation for me was more so with law enforcement of how to behave, how not to behave. As a black man in general, a young black man, we're taught to be respectful. If we get pulled over, make sure your hands is on the, was that the 10 and 2, and always narrate what you're doing. Don't reach for anything. Be calm. Always, and then we always call a loved one and have them on when cell phones came about. Call a loved one just to have them on so they can hear what's going on. Now they videotape things. But it's just safety precaution, you know. These are the conversations that in a black household that we have constantly. It's just being safe. It's just a different story when you see what has happened and what has always happened. It's hard to have that conversation with your children because you can be doing all the right things and still get unjustly murdered.
Yeah, it beguiles me that you and I can be close friends, that we grew up in the same community, that we call this our hometown, and what I feel as inconvenienced by being pulled over by the police, you feel fear and terror, and we live in that country, and we've got to address that, and we've got to try to understand that.
Yeah, this is important. This is what we're going through, and it's sad that this has had to happen, but I pray, and I'm taking it as a personal, is to continue the work that needs to be done and not let this just be another blimp where we, you know, we come together for a little bit and then...
Yeah, you can't get together every 3 years because somebody catches something on a cell phone video and then yell and scream and not do anything about it.
Yeah, I'm done with that. Like, long gone are the days of just, all right, now we're going to come together for a little bit and... Then after a week or two, then it's back to normal, and then it happens again. I'm exhausted about it. You know, it's something that's traumatizing, especially as a black man, to see continuous black men being killed on video, and that's shared and it's replayed. It's traumatizing to watch. You know, I work with trauma-based facilitating, so it is something that does something to me personally, as a black man, to constantly see other black men being killed on video. So, yeah, it's time for a change, and it's time for us to be active, to be vigilant, to get involved. That was the main reason why it was my personal mission to build up my name, to be active in the community, to be seen, to be on boards, to be behind the scene. I think it's very important to have representation and diversity because we have a bunch of resources, great resources here in Decatur. But a lot of times the behind the scenes doesn't reflect the people that we serve. So it's important for me to have a seat at the table, to make sure that I'm involved in these conversations. And thank you, Brian, for allowing me to be on your show for this platform. It's important for us to hear each other, you know. The main thing is just make sure that even though me and my kids are being taken care of, to make sure all the kids are being taken care of, to see and be mindful of the differences. Why is this neighborhood like that and our neighborhood is like this? And why is that school underfunded and this one is it's blatant, it's obvious. So we want to make sure we take care of each other. That's the main thing, is just make sure we take care of each other. Like you take care of you and your family and your kids. You want to make sure you do the same for other people and just be mindful of that.
All right. Are you optimistic?
Oh, very. That's just in my blood, though.
I know, but sometimes I wonder, not that it's a front, but sometimes I feel like you feel the responsibility of being that guy that's optimistic. And I'm wondering in the last 12 or 13 weeks when we're living through things that we haven't lived through as a society in 100 years, you know, from pandemic to protest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do you ever get
all
down?
I don't feel, because this is me. The one thing about about me for Terrence Tat Taylor. Like, it's not a not a front. Like, I'm genuinely, like, I think about how blessed I am. It's just something that I do each and every day. I've trained my mind to see the positives in things, and I just love seeing our country in the midst of what's going on. And I know a lot of other media likes to pump up the negative and looters and rioters, but I find the positive of the law enforcement and the protesters coming together in solidarity. And those are the things that I promote. Those are the things that that I attract, and that's the things that I share. I know what we're facing. I know what we've been facing. I was blessed and born black here, so it's just part of my upbringing, my life. But I truly feel that during this time, we can seriously make a change, because I feel like now everyone is actually seeing what has always been. Once again, with technology and social media, it's no longer, it's just happening in a pocket, or if it's not directly affecting me, I don't care. Because now we have family and friends and associates and coworkers of different nationalities and colors and creeds, and it's important for us to stick together. Just like Martin Luther King Jr. said, injustice anywhere is a problem for justice, period. I'm pretty sure I jacked that up.
That's okay. I'm not going to hold you to some standard on that one. I got you. Listen, hey, here's the thing, though, that I worry about that I'm seeing, you know, and a lot of it is coming out of, because we don't have sports stars are weighing in or not weighing in. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is opinion and tweets. We're going to stumble. People are going to say things you don't agree with, the things you disagree with. We can't have a litmus test. We got to be able to communicate. We can't be afraid to communicate. Yeah. I know we've got people in all of our markets. Some people are terrified to even talk about this because they don't want to say the wrong thing. Right now, we don't need to dig foxholes. We got to be able to have conversations, and there can't be a litmus test of, you didn't say exactly what I want on all sides of this. Yeah. And we got to look for third alternatives. I'm tired of being told I have to choose a side. Yeah. I'm tired of being told I have to respect my friend Tat, or I got to be law enforcement and there's no in between. I think there's third alternatives, and I think this country is going to be built by those kids you're talking about and their optimism and their action. We can build different options for people. It doesn't have to be this side and that side.
No, and just in, like I said on my social media, just because I'm pro-black doesn't mean I'm anti-white, and this isn't a white versus black problem. This is a right versus wrong problem. This is just good versus bad. That's just what it is. It's to fight for equality. And the young people, what I love about this generation is they don't go the same route as, well, my grandfather did this and if they see something that is a problem, they fix it. You know, like I said, with just politics. The young people nowadays, you just won't get their vote without actually sitting down with them and putting out your policy and your agenda. Long gone, I hope, are the days of just expecting one group of people to vote a certain way. Once again, I'm speaking for myself and you know, not all black people, but just voting Democrat or whatever, or Republican. You have to fight for our vote. Like, what is the... For so long, we've been driven by our hearts, you know. We go by our hearts and promises. We don't need promises. We need plans, all right, for any and all politicians who's looking for the black vote. What is the plan? Not promises. We want an actual agenda of combating certain things and elements, and that's what's important, you know. Like you said, that's been the thing that's been definitely dividing our country. But the young people are like, nah, I want to know, what's the plan?
All right, my friend. You are an important, important voice in this and to our community. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Brian.
All right, Tat. Have a great day. We appreciate it very much. Terrence Taylor from Hot 105.5. Our sister station. I think he was calling me from a studio down about 30 feet from here.
Yeah.
This whole thing's weird, right? I mean, the life... in January versus life now and how we do things. I cannot tell you how happy I am to see him every morning. just one of the bright spots of my day.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.